Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Let's get to some of the reaction coming into that Republican debate last night, which is being seen as a bad night for Jeb Bush, who went after his one-time apprentice, Marco Rubio, over Rubio's missed votes in the Senate. Rubio hit back last night and again on ABC's Good Morning America this morning. Here he is.
Well, look, if another candidate's decided that the way they're going to win is by attacking me, then they're going to pursue that line. It's not going to be the way I run my campaign. I'm not going to change my campaign because of some change someone else has made, because they've allowed themselves to be convinced that attacking me is the way forward.
Joining us now with analysis is Here and Now's Republican strategist, Paris Denard. Paris, welcome back. And what do you think? How bad of a night was it for Jeb Bush and how good for Marco Rubio?
Hey, Jeremy, I told you yesterday and all the listeners that it's going to be make or break for Governor Jeb Bush, and it was a break moment. He did not step up to the plate. He did not deliver. It was bad for him. And it was a good night for Marco Rubio, despite the fact he didn't really answer the direct and, I think, legitimate concerns and questions from the moderators imposed by Governor Bush. But nonetheless, Governor Bush did not deliver. And I was on a call with some of his senior strategists after the debate, and they were all saying the same things. They were all disappointed. RNC was disappointed. They know Jeb Bush is on a lifeline.
But you think that Rubio did not answer that question, and do you think that he is going to have to if he is now going to become the establishment candidate to beat?
Oh, he's going to definitely have to answer the question. I mean, one of the true arts of Marco Rubio's oratory skills is the fact that he can deflect and then move his deflection into narrative. But at some point, he's going to have to explain his voting record. At some point, he's going to have to explain the foreclosures and the things that are documented about his judgment. When you become president of the United States, it's about judgment. And the American people want authenticity. Republican voters want authenticity. And that is what they see from him. And the more he deflects, the more his numbers will go down in that space of authenticity.
What about the front runners, at least according to the polls, Donald Trump and Ben Carson? Let's listen to some of the CNBC debate on Westwood One here. Here is Trump, who said he sometimes carries a gun.
I do carry on occasion, sometimes a lot, but I like to be unpredictable so that people don't know exactly. By the way, unlike our country, where we're totally predictable, and the enemy, whether it's ISIS or anybody else, they know exactly what we're doing.
And he actually got a lot of applause there. And here's Carson, who struggled to explain why he was involved with Manatech, a nutritional supplement company that paid $7 million to settle a lawsuit.
Total propaganda. I did a couple of speeches for them. I did speeches for other people. They were paid speeches. It is absolutely absurd to say that I had any kind of a relationship with them. Do I take the product? Yes. I think it's a good product.
To be fair, you were on the homepage of their website with the logo over your shoulder.
If somebody put me on their homepage, they did it without my permission.
Paris, do you think that Carson and Trump hurt or helped themselves?
I think Donald Trump helped himself last night. He continued to appeal to his base of supporters. Look, a lot of the supporters in our party love guns and support the Second Amendment, and he just appealed to the base on that. I like to see the gun. I wonder if it's like a gold-plated gun, but nonetheless, he did well, and he really appealed to the base. With Mr. Carson, he sort of faded last night. When it gets to these technical questions and things that getting down in the nitty-gritty about the details of his economic policy and his plans, he sort of faded. And this answer about Manatech, truthfully, Jeremy, he's going to have to answer it more directly. It's about trustworthiness, credibility, and judgment. The presidency, again, is about judgment. And when you look at Hillary Clinton and her emails and her server, a lot of people, there's no smoking gun in the emails, but it goes back to credibility, trustworthiness, and judgment. And Dr. Carson is going to have to come out and really have a better answer to this Manatech, because there's legitimate claims about it.
A lot on the line for a lot of people at that debate last night, and we didn't hear much out of Carly Fiorina. She didn't seem to stand out. Chris Christie, who's been way down in the polls throughout this entire process, did have a couple of moments. Here he is with moderator John Harwood when he was pressed on climate change.
What we should do is to be investing in all types of energy, John. All types of energy. And I've laid out—
Meaning government?
No, John. John, do you want me to answer? You want to answer. How are we going to do this? because I got to tell you the truth, even in New Jersey, what you're doing is called rude. So
a good line from Chris Christie. Paris, I just want to ask you, just a few seconds left here, but who do you think is going to have to drop out as a result of this debate?
Jeremy, it's an old Boys to Men song that says, although we've come to the end of the road, still I can't let go. There are some candidates who just cannot let go. But I think Huckabee, Paul, Governor Bush have to seriously consider letting go of this race.
I thought maybe you would quote Motown Philly, but we'll save that for another day.
They're back again. Strategy. Somebody will be back again. It might be Lindsey Graham moving up.
Who knows? Republican strategist Paris Denard, thank you so much.
My pleasure, sir.